Well, it's nice to see everyone this evening, and we're glad that you've come, and I'd like to thank you for these nights and weeks that have gone by, and appreciate the kindness and the hospitality of the Lord's people. It's not the place you want to come if you want to lose weight, so yeah, I have to blame somebody when I get home. But we appreciate all your kindness and your help. It was good to meet up with Ian again and to be with Ian and Janice and the family for the first weekend that I was here, and then I met another man that I'd never met before. Duncan, I think you've all met him. And Chris, and I do appreciate their kindness and their help. I've still got a week to go, so I have to really watch what I say. But you know, he's got another week to work on me, to try and sort me out, but he's doing his best. But it's been good to be with them, and I have enjoyed the time, enjoyed all the discussions, and it's been very good. I've appreciated it, and thank you one and all, and I trust that the Lord will continue to bless you here and to encourage hearts in the preaching of the gospel. Now, I want to read tonight just three different places in Colossians, first of all, in chapter 1, or Galatians chapter 1, rather. Galatians chapter 1. And reading at verse number 15, Paul is writing here, Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Right at the end of the chapter it says this, verse 23, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." Now, back to the Old Testament, to a book that's maybe not often read from in the gospel, the book of Ezra. The little book of Ezra, and chapter 8, just after the Chronicles, Ezra and chapter 8. It's only a part of this verse that I want to really lift, but we'll read verse 22, the whole verse. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 22. "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him." There's a final verse in the Psalms, and Psalm number 37. Psalm number 37. Verse And just verse 5, where David says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's all we want to read with the Lord's blessing. There's three very short statements that we have read tonight. You may have noticed them. They're all about him. That's the emphasis, him. Paul says in Colossians or Galatians chapter 1, he says his great desire was to preach him. And then we have read from the book of Ezra chapter 8 that men might seek him. And then Psalm number 37, that they would trust him. So that's very simple. To preach him, to seek him, to trust him. It has been our privilege during these nights, in some measure, in some way, just to preach him. It's been our desire that there would be those that would seek him and trust him. We come to the last night of this little series, and although it be the last night of this time, you know, the great thing is that many's a person has been saved on the last night of meetings. We have known them over the years. But Paul says that his great desire was to preach him. That's the Lord Jesus. Now that's the same person that we're preaching here tonight. No different, no other person, just him. We're not here to preach a religion. The world has got thousands of religions. But we're here to preach him. We're not here to preach some set of rules or somehow some ceremony or ritual or creed. We're just here to preach him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because really tonight, although there are thousands of religions in the world, there's only one Savior. There's only one person who can ever bring you to heaven. And that person is the one that died for us upon the cross. You know, this man, Paul, that wrote these words in Galatians, he didn't always preach him. In fact, before his conversion, he hated him. You know, this man, really, there was a time in his life when he blasphemed that name of the Lord Jesus. But now he blesses that name. There was a time when he despised him, and now he defends him. There was a time when he persecuted him, and now he preaches him. There was a big change. You know, the change in that man's life was so real that it brought him from being one who was filled with opposition to Christ, that he now is filled with appreciation of Christ. You know, tonight, he still changes people. He still saves people. He still comes into the lives of men and women and young people and puts them on a different direction and heads them for a different destiny, heaven and not hell. That's why we preach him. You know, Paul on another occasion said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. We're not here tonight to preach ourselves. That would be a waste of time. If we were just here to speak about ourselves, you know, the point is this, that we're no better than anybody else. But we're here to preach Him. We're here tonight to present the one, the Son of God, who came into this world, who willingly went to a cross, and on that cross He became the sacrifice for sin. He became the only one ever who could ever bear away sin, and He did it in His own body on the tree. And He did it for you. And He did it for me. And that's why it's a wonderful thing. You know, if you were just to stop tonight and think of what the Lord has done for you, and how that He has loved you more than any and more than all, and that He left heaven, and I couldn't describe what heaven must be like tonight, but He left that place and He came right here into this world where He was rejected and crucified, but He's still rejected. And although He did all that, and He suffered all that on the cross, that still there are so many who still reject Him, who still refuse Him, who don't want Him in their lives. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here tonight and you're still rejecting Christ. You're still refusing Him. The one that has done so much for you, the one and the only one who can bring you to heaven. And yet you reject Him. I want you to think about this tonight. Paul says, I want to preach Him. You know, he says, I want to preach Him always. I want to preach Him sincerely. I want to preach Him tenderly. I want to preach Him, he says, I'll preach Him on a Mars Hill. I'll preach Him in the marketplaces, in the shambles. He says, I'll preach Him in the synagogues. I'll preach Him by a riverside. I'll preach Him in a prison. He says, I'll preach Him. That's amazing. But Paul, have you nothing else to preach about? Have you nothing else to speak about? Oh no. He says, I just want to preach Him. I just want to tell men and women that God loves them and Christ died for them and their sins can be forgiven and they can be sure of heaven forever. You know, would you want to preach anything else? Could you tell people anything better? Could you tell people anything greater than that? You couldn't. And so he says, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen. And that's what he did. In fact, he did it until they took his life. He did it until one day, as a prisoner in the city of Rome, imprisoned for Christ and the cause of the gospel, there he waited his execution. And the day came when he heard the thud of the soldier's boot and the jangle of the keys. And they took him out of the prison the maritime prison in the city of Rome. And history would tell us that they took him out along the Appian Way, the 3 Mile Hill, and a soldier took a sword, and Paul's head was put on a block, and the soldier lifted the sword, and it could have glistened in the sunlight, and one swish, and it was all over. You'll not preach him anymore, Paul. I know. But I preached him right to the end. He died for the cause of Christ. He was willing to give his life for the cause of Christ. He was willing to preach him. You know, this evening, we haven't time to go into it all, but during these nights, we have tried in some little measure to preach him. And you would know that we only are paddling on the shallows. We're only, as it were, touching the surface. For there's not a man could ever stand up at this desk and ever preach him fully. There's so much about him. There's so much in relation to him. You know, we preach his lowly birth. The wonder that he was born in Bethlehem. The Virgin Mary, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling bands and laid him in a manger. We preach his lowly birth. We preach his lovely life. That the life that he lived here in this world was pure and perfect, was holy. But we preach his lonely death upon the cross. And we've said this before in nights past, that the only man who ever really deserved to live was the one who died upon that cross. We preach his lonely death. We preach his lofty position now that he's not dead. He did die. But he could say to John on the Isle of Patmos, he could say, I am he that liveth and was dead or became dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You know, tonight, if he was still dead, we've got no hope at all. If he was still in that tomb, there's really no gospel to preach. But the fact is this tonight, that the one who died and was buried, he rose again. And not only that, 40 days after he rose, he went back to heaven, and he's still there tonight. And yet he's coming back again. And he's coming back to this world to take from this world those who have trusted him, those who are saved, those who are born again, what we were singing about in that hymn tonight. I want to come to this. If we preach him, it's our great desire that someone tonight would seek him. I just want to draw a parallel this evening for a few minutes between some verses in our Bible that have to do with seeking and the story of a little man called Zacchaeus who actually sought the Lord. You know, the Bible says, and the Lord Jesus in the great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's what you call the priority of seeking. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everybody in life has got ambitions. Things that they'd like to do and like to achieve. And there's no harm in having ambitions. But listen tonight. The Lord Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, sadly, so many people, in relation to the list of priorities, he's not even on the list. The priorities in so many people's lives, there's so many other things, and sometimes he just doesn't even appear on the list at all. And yet, tonight, if you're going to be in heaven, he's got to be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That story of Zacchaeus, the day that the Lord Jesus came to Jericho, and Zacchaeus heard he was coming, and he went out to seek him. The Bible says that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. In other words, Zacchaeus, who was a busy man, who was a businessman, who is one of the few men in your Bible described as being rich, he had it made as regards this world. He had money in the bank, he had affluence, and he had influence. He had it all. But that day, he canceled the diary. That day, he cleared the desk. And he says, "I'm going to seek Christ." That was first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh yes, Zacchaeus was an important man. He was a busy man. He was a big name in Jericho. But I'll tell you this. Do you know what Zacchaeus discovered that day? He discovered that there's more to life than gold. You know, some people think that the only thing that really is important is gold. Well, there's more to life than gold. There's God. The silver and gold that will perish. But the salvation of God that is eternal. Seek first. That's Zacchaeus. But think of this verse. Isaiah 55. The Lord says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." That's not only the priority of seeking, but that's the opportunity of seeking. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You see, Zacchaeus that day realized that the Lord could be found, that the Lord was near. What an opportunity. You know, we've had, this is the 15th night here in the gospel. All these opportunities. Maybe you're here tonight and you've still never sought him. You're still not saved. What an opportunity. Some years ago, I went over to Wales for some meetings. And I arrived in Cardiff in a little plane from Belfast. And there was a man picked me up at the airport. And we drove back to his home where I was going to be staying for part of the time. And when he came to the door, his wife opened the door and she was somewhat disturbed. I knew there was something wrong. And then when we got in, she told the story that there was a lady in the assembly at Treorchy. There's only 10 people in the little company at that time. And this lady was a widow, and her son, who was just in his early 40s, the night before he was playing squash at the sports center, and suddenly he was gone. Do you know, I never met the lad, the young man. I attended his funeral. I visited his mother. Do you know what she said to me? She had hoped to get her son along to the meetings to hear the gospel. And he died suddenly the day before we started. He never got that opportunity. But you're here tonight. I know it's the last night. But you've got an opportunity tonight. The reality. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Zacchaeus realized his opportunity. But more than that, the Bible says it is time to seek the Lord. That tells me of urgency. And I can see that in that man Zacchaeus. The Bible says that he ran. He ran before and he climbed up into that sycamore tree, and the Lord came to the place and he called him. And the Bible says that he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. There was an urgency. It is time to seek the Lord. You know, there's many people who have heard the gospel, who have heard the message, and they might think, well, some other time, later on, when I'm older. I've even heard people go as far to say, when I'm dying. You don't know that. Nor do I. There's an urgency tonight. It is time to seek the Lord. There's one more here. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. That's sincerity. Was he sincere? Was Zacchaeus sincere? He was, you know. Do you know how sincere he was? Well, he was a tax collector. And it would seem, you know, that he not only lifted for the Romans, but he lifted a bit for himself as well. And he had done very well out of it. And really the people were surprised to see the Lord Jesus with this man, Zacchaeus. But you know what he said? He said, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, he said, I restore him fourfold. In other words, he was absolutely sincere. I'll restore him. Restitution. It's a good sign, isn't it, that a person is truly saved when they seek to try to make amends for things that they have done. You know, in the north of Ireland in the early 1920s, there was a famous evangelist called W.P. Nicholson. And he seemed to, for a few years, there was like a tremendous wave of blessing. There were thousands of people saved. And in Belfast, the men from the shipyard, on one occasion they walked en masse to a large church on the Ravenhill Road, and they were so eager to get in that they pulled the railings down. And there was hundreds and hundreds of men from the shipyard who were saved. In those days, there was maybe 30,000 people worked in the shipyard. But you know what happened? There were so many people saved that they had to build a shed to hold all the stuff that had been stolen that the men who were saved brought back. You see, it was real. It was real. It is real tonight. It is a real thing to be saved. This is not a myth or some fairy tale or some fictional thing. There is a Savior tonight. He was here. He did die. He did rise. He is in heaven. He is coming. And you know, tonight, you and I are just here and we're just passing through. And nobody argues with that. You know, I've spoken many times at gravesites. Sometimes to great crowds of people, you know, at funerals. Nobody has ever come to argue with me about the fact that we're not here to stay. Doesn't matter if a person's agnostic or atheist or humanist or whatever else he might think he is, nobody argues about it. We all have to go. And where you're going, that's the bit. We preach him. Oh, that you'd seek him tonight. That you'd trust him. Trust also in him. Some people say, who can you trust these days? I don't know how it is in Canada, but I know I've heard that a few times over the years. Who can you trust? Who can you depend on? Well, tonight, the man that we're preaching, you can trust him. And I'll tell you more. You can trust him with your soul. And it'll be safe. You've got a soul tonight. The real you, the real person, the seat of the intelligence, the heart of the intellect, the center of the emotions. The real you. This here, as you see tonight, is just the frame. This here is just the outward. But, you know, this here, if the Lord hasn't come, I'll die, and this here will decay. Because there's none of us built to last. But the soul will never decay. No grave digger has ever buried a soul. No surgeon's knife has ever operated on a soul. That's the real you. This here's only the shell, the tent. And it'll be taken down. You want to trust him. with your soul. There's one thing sure here tonight. It's our prayer that you'll not lose your soul. That you'll not perish. That you'll not arrive. And we say this tenderly tonight. In the awfulness of hell. And then the lake of fire. Trust him. Trust him tonight. It's your opportunity. That young man in Wales. He died the day before we started the meetings. You're here tonight. Don't push it from you. Don't say, not for me. There's a Savior who loves you, who died for you. Trust him. Take him. Make him your Savior. Repenting of sin and reaching out to Christ. Thank God tonight. He can save your soul. He can take you to heaven. Shall we pray? Lord, we ask thee just to bless thy word. Thank thee for the friends that have gathered tonight and during these nights of these weeks that have passed. We pray.